Hi, everyone, and welcome to the broadcast. Today, I am going to be continuing the series on the Jewish roots of the faith. And before I get started, I just wanted to ask everyone to please comment below and let me know if this is something you would like to see as a regular feature on the blog instead of just a series that I'm doing. If you are really enjoying the teachings on the Jewish roots of the faith, and they're definitely not my teaching. They're just things I've learned over the years from people far smarter than me. But if you're enjoying learning about it and you want to see it continue, please comment below and let me know. And also, please comment and let me know if you're enjoying having it done in audio versus writing. I know for me, I love audio because I can listen while I'm cooking or just relaxing. But you may feel differently. And quite honestly, this audio, it's not scripted. It's not planned. I kind of like to approach it as though you're sitting across the kitchen table from me and we're just talking. I don't edit this at all. You're getting the full version. So just keep in mind, you're probably going to hear things like my dogs in the background and noises outside, and it's just not going to be edited at all. So let me know if you're enjoying the audio, having this done in audio. So now we're going to continue on into the tabernacle, and we are visiting the inner court, or what's known as the holy place. And if you have not listened to the message on the outer court yet, I would stop this audio now and go back and listen to that first, because like I said, this is not planned or scripted, and I'm not quite sure where God's going to lead me in discussing this. And there may be things that I maybe touch on that you, if you haven't listened to the other message, you may not understand what I'm saying. So it might be helpful to go back and listen to that first. So feel free to do that if you like. If not, you're absolutely welcome to continue on. So we are going into the holy place. And like the outer court, there are certain pieces of, for lack of a better word, furniture that reside in the inner court. And there are three specifically. Within the holy place, we have the table of shewbread, we have the seven-branch menorah, and we have the altar of incense. And I'm going to go over each one individually in no particular order. It's not in order of importance, and it's not in order of location. But I am going to just touch on them each individually as an overarching view of them, and then what I'll do is I'll tie them all in together. So let's start with the table of showbread. So the showbread, or the lechem hapanim, was what it means is bread of the presence. And the reason why it's called bread of the presence is because it's always there. It's always in God's presence. Each week on the Sabbath, the priest would bring in 12 cakes of what is actually matzah. So it's unleavened bread. And it had to be unleavened. Leaven or chametz is symbolic of sin. So it had to be baked without leaven because it was going to be residing in the holy place. And we can't have sin in the presence of God. So it is unleavened bread. 12 cakes, according to God's command, were brought in on the Sabbath. And it was divided into two stacks. So there were two stacks of six cakes of matzah. And beside those cakes were bowls of frankincense. And they sat on a table or shulchan. And the shulchan was made out of acacia wood. And it was covered in pure gold. And gold, and you're going to see the theme of gold here in the inner court. In the outer court, we have the bronze. Bronze was symbolic of judgment and sin. Here in the holy place, we have gold, which is symbolic of God's glory. Now, as I said, they would bring these cakes in once a week on the Sabbath, and then they would remove the cakes from the week before. And those cakes were, the priests were entitled to those cakes that had been removed. And remember, this is unleavened bread, so it's sort of almost like a cracker type texture. So it's not like it would go moldy in a couple of days sitting in there. It was more like a cracker type bread. So the priests would then eat it, and they had to eat it in a holy place because it was sacred bread. They couldn't just eat it anywhere they wanted. It had to be kept in a holy place. So that is the table of showbread. Next, we have the menorah. And a lot of times, unless you've grown up in a Jewish home or you're from a Jewish family, You picture a menorah, and the first picture that people often get is the Hanukkah menorah. This menorah that was in the holy place was different. This was more like the lampstand in Revelation. Revelation talked about the golden lampstand, and this is the same exact thing. In fact, the throne room that John had a vision of in Revelation is actually it shadows the holy place and the Holy of Holies in the tabernacle. So the seven-branched menorah, it had the six branches on either side and then a central branch in the middle. And on top of those branches were little, kind of like lamps that were filled with olive oil. And these burned constantly. It was Aaron's job. God assigned this job to Aaron in the tabernacle to keep those lamps burning. And it's important to note that this was the only light in the tabernacle, or I'm sorry, in the inner court. This was the only light. Without that lampstand burning, the priests would have no light in order to minister in the holy place. So that is the seven-branched menorah. Then the next furnishing we have is the altar of incense. And again, this was overlaid in gold. And it contained spices and perfume. The job belonged to a perfumer. Lost my words there for a minute. The job of making these spices and this incense basically went to a perfumer who would come up with these sweet-smelling incense, and it would be burned on this altar. And this altar sat immediately outside the veil that separated the holy place from the Holy of Holies. So this incense burned up, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they did this twice a day. I'll have to double check on that, but I believe they did this twice a day. And this, all these together comprised the three furnishings that made up the holy place. So again, the question comes up, what does this have to do with me? This was all the way back in Exodus. I'm not Jewish. What does this have to do with me? Again, these are patterns that God has put in place to show us future events. So everything in the tabernacle is a pattern of salvation and the coming Messiah. The same way Passover, the original Passover, was a foreshadowing of Jesus being the Lamb of God, and he becoming the Passover sacrifice for us. In much the same way, the tabernacle and the items in the tabernacle and what they represent is a foreshadowing of our salvation and our Messiah. So I'm going to go into each element now and try to show you how they all tie in that way. So the first item was the table of showbread. And Jesus said in John 6:35, that he is the bread of life. He said, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. So Jesus is identifying himself here as the bread of life. That ties into, if we go back to the Last Supper, which was a Passover Seder, and Jesus took the bread, which was the matzah, the same matzah that is used on the table of showbread. And in the message that I did on the Passover Seder, we discussed how the matzah is bruised, it's striped, it's pierced, and then during the Seder it is broken. That this is a visual picture of Jesus. When he said, this is my body, do this in remembrance of me, this is what he meant. His body was bruised, it was striped, it was pierced. He was identifying himself with the bread, and that's why he calls himself the bread of life. So the showbread is a picture of communion. It is our communion when we take the bread and we do what Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me, by taking communion. That is what the table of showbread represents for us. Then we look at the menorah. We have the seven-branch menorah with the lamps of olive oil, and those lamps are always burning. It is the only light in the holy place. We, as a church, are the light of the world. We are commanded to be salt and light. But in addition to that, God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. The Word of God illuminates our path for us. It tells us how to walk with God. It tells us how to live our life. Well, you know, one of the things I love is when they broke down the word Bible, B-I-B-L-E, and it was basic instructions before leaving Earth. And that's what it is. It's an instruction manual, how to live our life. It lights our path. So the seven-branch menorah that is always burning and always lighting up the holy place is representative of the Word of God. But it can also represent that we as a church are a light to the world. And then we have the altar of incense. And the altar of incense, if we look at Psalm 141 verse 2, may my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands be like the evening sacrifice. Revelation chapter 8, verses 3 and 4. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar. He was given much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Now keep in mind, I'm going to pause there. Keep in mind that the altar of incense was right before the veil to the Holy of Holies. Now, when Jesus died, the veil of the temple was torn in two. So that's why we're not seeing a veil here in between. You're getting the throne instead of the veil. But this is the altar of incense that they're referring to in John's vision. John is seeing sort of a pattern from the tabernacle. And then in verse 4, and the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. The altar of incense represents our prayers. It's the prayers that we make, not only for ourselves, but the prayers that we make for others. It's intercession. It's communion with God. It's us talking to Him and He talking to us. So we have the altar of incense, which is prayer. We have the light, the menorah, which is the Word. And then we have the showbread, which is not only communion as far as us taking the bread, but communion as us, as a body of believers, coming together and being a light to the nations, being a light to the world, and witnessing and praying and interceding. So what we have here in the holy place is, well, let's take a step back. What we had in the outer court was sin. And then we had repentance and baptism. We had salvation. Then we go through and we are in the holy place where we have communion, the Word, and prayer. These things together, our communion together, plus our communion that we take, plus the Word of God that we not only read to give us instruction, but that we share with the world, and the altar of incense, which is our intercession and our prayers, all bring us closer to God and all bring us closer to being in His presence. So this is what the holy place represents. This is what brings us into the very presence of God. These things have to happen before we enter His direct presence. We have to be in prayer. We have to talk to God. We have to know God. You can't be in communion. You can't be in the presence with and have direct relationship with somebody you don't know. We have the Word. We have to be in the Word. We have to know what God's Word says for our lives. And we have to share that with others. And then communion, not only the communion, like I said, not only the communion that we take at church, but the communion of ourselves, meeting together, being with other believers, and then going and bringing this to other people. This is a pattern God has created for us to see how our salvation gets worked out and then how we can get closer to Him. So I hope you enjoyed this teaching. Next time we'll go into the Holy of Holies. And if you would like to be notified when the next teaching comes out, go ahead and subscribe over on the right-hand side. That is just the blog subscription. It is not a mailing list. So go ahead and plug your email in there, and then you'll get notified when there's another blog post. If you have any questions, please comment below, and I'd be happy to answer them. Again, this audio is completely unedited. I'm sorry that my voice sounds so scruffy, but I have a sore throat. So I'm sorry if I kind of go off on a tangent once in a while. But please share this, comment, and I look forward to going into the Holy of Holies with you next time.